From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This week, we enter Preservation Hall, the world's coliseum of traditional jazz. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band has just released its first album of all original music. Director Ben Jaffe is leading the way.
I wanted it to sound like an elephant running through the French Quarter.
Whoa! Step back, everybody. Preservation Hall coming through. After the break. Since the early 1960s, Preservation Hall in New Orleans has been hallowed ground. This is where giants of traditional jazz played and where many are still playing. It's one of the few spots near Bourbon Street that attract not only tourists, but local music lovers as well. That's because the musicians of Preservation Hall, in their white shirts, black trousers, and sensible shoes, know their way around a song. Chances are their parents were musicians and played the same songs, and their parents' parents, and maybe even their parents' parents' parents. But hold the mothballs. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band is rambling on new ground. In recent years, the band has recorded with a variety of artists, including Steve Earle, Angelique Kijot, Merle Haggard, Ani DeFranco, and bluegrass king Del McCoury. Also, Jim James of My Morning Jacket. And yes, Tom Waits.
Cookie Morgan, shake that thing. Moon on land, swing that thing. Cookie Morgan, shake that thing. Moon on land, moon on land. Finest gal you ever saw. Does some things against the law. Took my mom for my fall. I'm gonna knock on the door.
Recently, the band released its first album of entirely new material. They'll be in Toronto soon, and Woodstock, and Boston, and even Bethlehem, PA. But Preservation Hall is still stomping in the French Quarter, most recently with singer John Oates. Preservation Hall with musical director and co-producer Ben Jaffe. Thanks so much for having us. You know, we don't get out much.
Well, thank you for coming down to Preservation Hall.
You're so kind, really. Yeah. And we should warn the listeners that, you know, our conversation is happening in the daytime, you know, at Preservation Hall. And at any moment, there could be people passing by on St. Peter Street.
That's what I love about this place in the French Quarter is it's a real neighborhood, you know. Real things are happening. Mail's getting delivered, you know.
Trash is getting picked up.
People are coming and going and, you know, deliveries are being made and, you know, things are getting fixed and light bulbs are being changed. Yeah, it's one of those beautiful things about Preservation Hall during the daytime. Is how quiet it is compared to what happens here at night.
I'm halfway right, you're halfway wrong. 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 You're halfway wrong, halfway right,
thing is, I mean, this room really has not changed a whole lot over the years. I mean, since you were a kid, has it?
It's remained, from what I understand, pretty much exactly as it's always been. You know, really from the time my parents first walked through the doors and had, you know, discovered this this whole world. My parents wanted everybody to have that experience.
Exactly. And your folks are, of course, Alan and Sandy Jaffe,
yeah,
who are the founders of Preservation Hall.
Yeah. I just saw my mom last week. My father passed away many years ago. But they were, you know, they were very special people who, you know, did an incredible thing. And I mean, my mom says this all the time that, you know, they thought they had maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years in them. When they got involved.
Really, two or three years of running this place, Preservation Hall.
Yeah, of you know, of even staying in New Orleans.
They came from Philadelphia?
They came from Philadelphia. My dad had just graduated Wharton and was actually in the ROTC. So he had actually spent some time down in this area at Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Wow.
Yeah, so he... He and his friends were all big, huge music lovers. They loved music and they loved New Orleans music. And there was a sort of a New Orleans jazz, what they call the jazz revival, was going on
in the late 50s, early 60s.
Late 50s, and then it kind of spawned the whole folk revival. You know, the Newport, you know, Dylan,
sure,
and that whole world, Pete Seeger. But there was also this New Orleans jazz thing happening on the East Coast, and you would go to a dance and you would hear a New Orleans style band playing Tiger Rag or, you know, whatever
Muskrat the Ramble,
Muskrat Ramble, sure, yeah, those types of songs, you know, Shake It and Break It, and you know, some of the you know, Closer Walk With Thee and the Saints Go Marching In,
and Careless and Love,
that stuff, and Benny Goodman had popularized the clarinet, you know, was keeping that alive, so people really liked the sound. It was a lot like what's going on in bluegrass music today. You know, everybody owned a banjo too back then, except they were, you know, New Orleans style tenor banjos, and everybody played trombone. You know, my dad played tuba.
That's right. And I did not know that your dad actually had what every musician really needs, which is a good business degree.
Yes. My parents, they, you know, I never really understood what they meant by this when they said that they never ran a music venue. That's not what they were doing.
What were they doing?
I've never really come up with the perfect description of what they were doing, but they were involved in with a community of artists, not only musicians, but there was a community of actors, a community of writers, a community of insiders and outsiders, you know, that gathered here in the French Quarter, in this very small area here.
Well, you know, a lot of people actually who come to New Orleans have a story that begins, we thought we would stay here for a couple, 3 years, and then, you know, in a blink, a lifetime has gone by. What made them stay?
They began to meet musicians, you know, people like Sweet Emma Barrett and Big Jim Robinson and George Lewis.
Oh boy, that's a great trio right there,
yeah,
isn't it? That's Sweet Emma on piano,
yes,
Jim Robinson on trombone, and of course George Lewis on clarinet.
Yeah.
I'll give him the mom, kiss him every night. Give him better loving if you know what I mean, and love him right. Because a good man is hard to find. I ain't never found out.
Thank you.
they met these people and they, you know, couldn't believe that they were here and available to actually perform.
Yeah.
You know, and they had some great mentors. Bill Russell.
Yes, the great archivist.
Great archivist. Mm-hmm. And actually a reason, you know, a lot of early jazz got documented at all through his record label. And there was this core group of people that Larry Bornstein, who had the gallery here and was the person who really was responsible for first having these jam sessions here. Look, I mean, it was the segregated South, and it was frowned upon to have the types of social interactions that were going on here at Preservation Hall, particularly in the 50s and into the 60s. This was really revolutionary and very cutting edge and very progressive. But I feel like my parents were able to have a different perspective, you know, brought an outsider's perspective. And I think somehow allowed New Orleans to cherish and embrace this music and these musicians in a way that it couldn't see from the inside out.
Exactly.
They wanted to present what they felt was the Carnegie Hall of New Orleans.
But you know, it's funny that you should mention this because I watched a DVD that Preservation Hall, and I would suppose you, included in one of your previous albums. This is a DVD that actually featured Preservation Hall in a news story on the Huntley-Brinkley Report back in, what, the early 1960s, 1961, something like that?
I think it was 61 or 62.
Six nights a week, jazz bands play here in the traditional style they like. There are no drinks and no strippers. Here's Jaffe.
Jazz here in Bourbon Street is what people seem to think is going to sell drinks. What we're trying to do here is just present the music the way the men want to play it. The people are sitting on wooden benches, sitting on the floor. There's no drink. It's pretty hot in there too in the summer. People come to hear just the music. I think the men realize this. The men play it the way they want to play it. People hear it. We have a rather selective audience. People come in, all we ask for is something in the kitty. And for that, I think they're going to get some really fine entertainment.
It's spooky. I mean, that just happened, right? I mean, that was filmed like literally 10 feet from where we're sitting.
10 feet from where we're sitting. Yeah. And you actually have a surprised look on your face, even though, you know, you've heard this, I'm sure, many times.
Yeah. Well, you know, every time I hear it, I hear something different. You know, I hear a different message. You know, you can hear the literal message about, you know, selling drinks, or you can hear the other message, which is we're presenting the music in a dignified way, you know, worthy of the respect that this music deserves.
Yes.
Know? And that's the message I hear. That's, you know, that was a very progressive idea for the time.
We're talking to Ben Jaffe, who directs Preservation Hall right here in New Orleans and plays with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band all over the world. Let's hear one of those progressive ideas that Jaffe's talking about. From the archive, here's Harold Dejean and the band with Basin Street Blues.
Mississippi, we take a boat to the land of dreams. Heaven on earth, they call it New Orleans. I say the band be there to meet us. The Preservation be there to greet us, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Jive, we take a boat to the land of dreams. Heaven on earth, they call it New Orleans. I said Basin Street. It's a street, long time ago, where all the good friends, yes, they used to meet. Way down in New Orleans, in that land of dreams. You'll never know how much seem and just how much it really mean. I said, tell me. Yes, sirree. Oh, we're going down, 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 down on Basin Street, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I said, baby, I can't lose. I've got the Basin Street blues. I'm going to tell you about Basin Street now. Just listen. I said, Mama bought a rooster, and she cooked it for a duck. She put him on the table one Thanksgiving day with his big juicy legs stuck up. In come the children with the cups and the glass. Says hot gravy. Dripping for what?
His yes, yes, yes.
Now, Basin Street used to be a good location. Right next door to that filling station.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you get your good stuff. You get your oil and you get your grease. And you hear the women say, oh, Daddy, would you come and please?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Basin Street. It's the street where the light and the dark folks meet. Way down in New Orleans.
Preservation Hall Jazz Band Archive, Harold Dejean singing Basin Street Blues. Coming up, how many musicians can you stuff into a Ford Mustang? With their instruments. Stay tuned. This is Music Inside Out, and I'm Gwen Tompkins. Preservation Hall is to jazz what Cooperstown is to baseball. The band's evolving lineup has always boasted the most valuable players. That's Chester Zardes on bass, and the late Billy and D.D. Pierce of Preservation Hall playing Cheery Beery Bin.
I was fortunate. I grew up with the last generation of first generation musician. The last of the first.
We're talking with Ben Jaffe, whose parents are the founders of Preservation Hall. Jaffe now leads the hall and plays tuba and bass in the band.
The two people I was most close with were Chester Zardes, the bass player.
Yes.
Because I knew very early on that I wanted to play the bass. You know, I always gravitated to like this little hole back here. Where the bass player sits, you know, and that's where Chester just hung out there all night. He never got up during the breaks or anything. He just kind of liked to hang back here. And that was always my little job during the breaks to come in and bring the gentlemen ice or to refill their drinks.
Yes.
You know, their soda or whatever they had. And Chester was the first person who took me aside and started showing me things on the instrument, you know, showing me how to tune the bass, showing me how to pluck the strings, where to put your, you know, to him, it wasn't just where you put your left hand. It was also as or more important, where you put your right hand.
Mm-hmm.
He just showed me how to pull the strings. How to pull the strings and get the prettiest tone.
Chester Zardes had a reputation of being kind of a tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been a great help to you that you were so young, because oftentimes the toughest adults are the sweetest children.
I mean, I was in high school when Chester passed away, but, you know, my first memories of him go back to that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, they all took me under their wing.
Yeah.
You know, they were all like grandparents to me.
Right. Well, who was the second person? You said Chester Zardes was one.
Yeah. And then there were several others. But the one that stands out in my mind is Harold Dejean.
The sax player.
Yeah. He was my Piran. And
your godfather.
My godfather. He was, you know, he was absolutely, you know, one of the biggest influences on me in terms of, you know, just someone who had such a good spirit. Everything I believe about New Orleans music, I learned really from him.
Mm.
You know, the idea of enjoying life. And he took big, deep bites out of life, you know.
Was it his phrase, "Everything's lovely"?
Everything's lovely. You know, how you doing, Harold? Everything's lovely. And he had two cars. He had his Lincoln Continental, and he had his Mustang. And he would always come over to the house and pick my dad up. That was how it always worked. We didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So it would be him, and it would be my dad in his tuba. And I don't know how they managed with the bass drum.
In a Mustang? But
it was the funniest thing. It was like a clown car. I mean, these were large men too, you know. My dad was a large guy. He was, you know, had a little size on him. And Papa was the bass drum player. And Papa had some kind of way he was able to slide the drum in the back trunk. And they had a bungee cord. And my dad would get in the back with the tuba. And if I was allowed to come, you know, they would take me along sometimes. And I would just squeeze in the back with him. You know, and we'd be off.
My goodness.
And Harold had this little horn that he programmed.
Programmed?
It was a little horn that had about 4 or 5 different sounds on it.
Like a car horn?
Like a car horn. It would, yeah, but it would play like the Mexican hat dance song. Yeah, exactly. Just like, you know, if you didn't hear his, he also had his whistle. You know, you would always hear, you knew that was him.
And so, you know, so can you, when you say that he taught you everything that you understand today about music.
Yes.
Can you be a little bit more specific?
He was a great band leader.
What does it take to be a great band leader?
It's all about building community. Leading a band is just, you know, you're in charge of a community of people.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that's, you know, that they're looking to for a sort of direction. Like, where's this ship going?
That's right.
And, you know, that's something that Harold did very well. You know, he knew how to feed his band well, not just food, but I mean, he knew how to keep the band creatively happy. He knew how to keep the band engaged, and he knew how to manage people incredibly well. You know, he had no enemies.
Boy, who can say that in life?
I know.
I love that.
Everybody. But I mean, everybody has a great story about Harold. when we'd be playing at a funeral procession, and Harold would, you know, get to sing in a spiritual out on the street. Those were like some of the most beautiful moments for me, because the songs were, everybody was looking for like an uplifting, a reason to be uplifted. Great, you could hear it, you know, on top of the crowd. And then as he got on in age and couldn't march with the band, he was still performing here at Preservation Hall. He'd come and sing with the Olympia on Sunday nights. And those were actually some of my favorite nights, because he sang every song.
Wow.
You know, because, you know, he figures, well, I can't play my horn, so I'm going to sing. You know, I'm going to sing.
I had my life to live over. I'd do the same thing over again. Baby, I'm always wrong to that place they call home. That my happiness will never end. I'm glad that your school day is over. I stroll through the land with you. If I had my life to live over, I'd still fall in love with you. All right.
If I had my life to live over again. That's Harold Duke Dejean, the paterfamilias of the Olympia Brass Band, and godfather to our guest, Ben Jaffe. Coming up, is that an elephant in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me? Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. We're talking with Ben Jaffe, the music director of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. For the first time in more than 50 years, Preservation Hall is promoting an album of original songs. The album is called That's It, and the entire band contributes to the writing and the playing, including producer Jim James of the group My Morning Jacket. Among the album's many delights is Charlie Gabriel on clarinet. His family roots in Louisiana music date back to the mid-1800s. We're going to talk with him in a minute, but first, take a listen to the title song, That's It. that's it. It's exuberant. Ben, you wrote this song.
Yes.
And it's as if you had something that you really needed to get off your chest. I mean, what do you hear when you hear that song?
I wanted it to sound like an elephant running through the French Quarter. Mark Bro.
Oh, he's perfect.
Yeah, is on trumpet. Yeah. You know, two of his uncles have led the Preservation Hall band, Wendell Bernius, the great Wendell Bernius, and the late great John Bernius. And Mark is, you know, took over John's chair. That's a Freddie Lonzo on the trombone. You know, I've known him. You know, he played with my dad when he was 16 in the Olympia Brass Band. You know, and that's Joe Lasty Jr. from the great Lasty family. And that's Clint Majan on the saxophone. A lot of people know Clint from the New Orleans Bingo Show.
Yes.
And that's Ronell Johnson on the two.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to move into that song. I just want to move in and pay rent and stay there for the rest
of
my life.
Something else, isn't it?
Clarinetist Charlie Gabriel has joined us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure is mine, honey.
Well, Charlie, you know what? Show me that the melody on the Yellow Moon.
Something else.
Fantastic. Why did it take you so long to make an album of all original music, since you seem to do it very well?
It all seems obvious in hindsight. You know, I'll tell you, it was our relationship with Jim James that inspired us. And
who was the producer of the record, right?
Yeah, well,
he's with My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, he Jim and I over the years have become friendly with each other, and it was just one of those natural sort of evolutions for us to get him involved. I mean, to have him bring something new to the table as well.
I see.
To get insight, you know, again, to get perspective. Sometimes, yeah. You know, again, when you're so far in it, you perspective is difficult.
Yeah. But then here you are, you're two fellows who are steeped in this tradition. Obviously, Ben Jaffe, your father and your mother, they are the beginnings of Preservation Hall. And you, Mr. Gabriel, your father's a musician, your father's father's father is a musician, right?
That's right.
I mean, dating back to what, 1856?
1842.
1842. Mm-hmm. Amazing, okay? Yeah. And so when you meet a guy, obviously a very talented man, Jim James, you know.
Yes.
And some part of your mind, you're thinking, what can this kid tell me about making a song?
I always say to everyone, the sweetest song yet to be heard.
Oh, boy.
Jim James, to me, was such a sweet person, and it comes out in his music. He plays that guitar. He reached the public, put it that way. He can reach them from any level. He's amazing. He's an amazing musician. And he can hear. His ears is keen.
You know, there's one song on the album where he actually does a harmony. You know, it's with, who is it with?
I Think I Love You.
Maybe it is. I think you might be the young man that he's harmonizing with.
That's right.
Good save, Mr. Gabriel.
Just because you say goodbye.
Yeah, and it's the combination of the voices, because you have a voice that's seasoned with time, and his voice, I don't know, I've never met him, I don't know how old he is, but he sounds like a very young man. And when you put the two together, the two voices together, it is something so special.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Oh my love, oh my heart, oh my world that's torn apart. All these years in my eyes, just
you know, again and again, even though there are incredible vocals on this album from the trombonist, you know what I mean, from the horn player, from the sax player, I mean,
Tuba.
You know, the album continually comes back to you as a vocalist.
Is
and
that
you,
right?
In many ways, you kind of anchored this album, you know? You're pointing at Mr. Ben Jaffe.
He sent that around. He did that.
So you just showed up for work.
I showed up for work.
I see.
And he's like a scientist. You know, you go in the office, and now we're going to put that piece there, put that piece there. And you say, let's look at it again, Charlotte. That would be
yeah.
But it helps, I would imagine, that you, Mr. Gabriel,
yeah.
that you have played so many different kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are a modern jazz composer. You've mm-hmm. played straight-ahead jazz, mm-hmm. you know, in your years up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you leave Detroit?
Now, I left Detroit at the time after Katrina, had all the musicians that had left here and found other places to go. New Orleans needed musician. And after my dad passed, I knew I had to come back to New Orleans because of who I am and who my family were, because of what we stand for. We knitted into this music in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, so many generations of Gabriels.
What the plus was that the Preservation needed a clarinetist too. And at that time, I would recommend it, put it that way.
Oh, boy. Well, that's nice. And so you came back. When did you come back
exactly? I came
back
in, I think, 2009.
2000. So you haven't been back that long.
4 or 5 years, going on
My
5 years.
My goodness. You've been away from
63 years.
63 years you have been away from Louisiana.
Mm, that's right.
And you came back and just slipped in like a hand in a glove.
Well, they put the glove out there, and I just picked it up.
Do you think that you might be able to do Sugar Plum?
No.
Is that too hard? What would
you
prefer?
I need my saxophone that. But I tell you, what would be really nice for you.
Okay.
Is to tell you about the habanero music. And this is one of the songs come from habanero music to go back to the 8th century. This is one of those rhythms that we can do for you called Sibane. Bing, boom, boom, right there. Okay.
It's wonderful. Wonderful. And so, Ben Jaffe, few musical organizations enjoy or command the kind of respect that the Preservation Hall Jazz Band has always commanded. I mean, since its very inception. People love this band and have always loved this band. So at what point is futzing with the formula, so to speak, dangerous?
Yeah, it's like changing your recipe for red beans and rice.
Yes.
You know, you're like, there are sacred things in New Orleans that you don't, there is no reason to, we got it right the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and I do believe that about our music. I believe that, you know, that we got it right here the first time. I think what we do, the music we play, the music of New Orleans, you know, it's timeless. You know, it's Bach. But to create your own original compositions and to perform your own songs, as an artist, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
it's an incredible achievement and a feeling that we've never had before as a band. You know, we've always performed other people's compositions, right, and interpreted songs, but we've never actually got to start a song from a blank sheet of paper.
A full raft of songs.
A full raft of songs.
And so, but did you get any pushback, though, from, you know, I mean, from folks who, you know, who are the purists of traditional jazz? I mean, traditional jazz is nothing without purists. It's like, traditional jazz is like baseball. You know, the fans have very specific ideas about how it should be done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people threw their hands up a long time ago.
Oh, that Jaffy kid.
Yeah, that didn't just happen, you know. My parents got an earful too, you know. And believe me, they did, you know. And it's funny to think back about that now. I can only hope that people will look back on this someday and it'll just be purely organic and natural and this perfect evolution of what was created here. You know, that's really what I want it to be, is just this sort of, oh yeah, of course, that's exactly like where it should have gone, and that's exactly what it should have evolved into. Yeah, absolutely, that's what I want.
Ben Jaffe, thank you so much for being with us and having us over.
So much fun. Thank you. Anytime.
And Mr. Charlie Gabriel. Yeah,
thank you, sweetheart. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Oh, I hope we're thrown together
again.
Life is so
good. God is so good. Thank you all the time.
Ben Jaffe and Charlie Gabriel of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Sean Collins, Thomas Walsh, Flawn Williams, and Jason Rhine. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with our friends at WWNO. And special thanks this week go to John Oates for allowing us to use his recording with Preservation Hall. For an entire playlist of songs from the show, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Music Inside Out is underwritten by the Historic New Orleans Collection, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.
This week, the last word goes to Freddie Lonzo and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. They've got a Halloween hit on their hands, Rattlin' Bones.
Give it a brother Morgan. You might not believe me, but I'll tell you it's true. And you would too, it can happen to each and every one of yous. I spent the night in the graveyard on a dare, and what I saw gave me a terrible scare. Rattling bones, rattling bones, creeping from behind those headstones. And if you don't want to see them, you better stay home. There ain't no running from them rattling bones. I said rattling bones. Hey, rattling bones. Come on, sing this with me. Creeping from behind those headstones. Come on, everybody, get up and sing this with me. Get out of your chairs. I'm gonna show you how to rattle. Watch me, watch me. Everybody, rattle, watch me, rattle. Everybody. I said. Creeping from behind. Come on, everybody, everybody, right on it. Rabble with your neighbor if you want, it's okay. Ooh, everybody, everybody, get on up, everybody, we're going. I said rattling bones, rattling bones. Creeping from behind those headstones. And if you don't want to see them, you better say, is.